were just trying to buy you more time. And Brett, during that time, I literally prayed to die. It was so sick being sick. I mean, I never contemplated suicide or anything like that, but I was just like, look, God, I'm not living. I'm just not dying. And I think there really is two different camps. And they told me that more than likely, I would be dead in 2 years. And that if I got a miracle, I might make it to 5 years. And I thought, well, you just gave me a death sentence. Maybe I can turn that death sentence into a life sentence.
What is something maybe someone's listening, watching now, and they feel like they're hitting that wall, that they feel like they're on the edge of giving up and quitting? What would you tell them that would encourage them to keep going?
I'd tell them this story.
Welcome back to the Better Than Best Academy. And I'm excited. It's been a while since I've had an interview. So I'm really excited for my guest today. I mean, he really is an esteemed guest. His name is Terry Tucker, founder of the Motivational Check LLC. His whole journey embodies resilience and determination. I won't go into too much of his story. I'm really going to let him dive into it himself. But I'm really interested to hear about how he was a D1 basketball player, his roles as a SWAT hostage negotiator, and even being a cancer warrior. I really want to give you the opportunity to now to just share with my audience, who is Terry Tucker?
Yeah, I'll go back to the beginning. I am the oldest of three boys. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. You can't tell this from looking at me or from my voice, but I'm 6'8" tall. And I went to the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina on a basketball scholarship. I've got another brother who's 6'7", who was a pitcher for the University of Notre Dame baseball team. Another brother who's 6'6", who was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers of the National Basketball Association. And then my dad was 6'5". So we always used to joke, if you sat behind our family church growing up, not a prayer church, you wouldn't see anything that was going on, you know, at the front of the church. But our 5'8" mother was always the boss. You know, whatever mom said, that's the way it was going to be. So I graduated from the Citadel. I moved home to find a job. I'm actually the first person in my family to graduate from college. I do find that first job in the corporate headquarters of Wendy's International, the hamburger chain, in their marketing department. That was the good news. The bad news was I lived with my parents for the next 3.5 years as I helped my mother care for my father and my grandmother, who were both dying of different forms of cancer. Professionally, as I said, started out at Wendy's. And then I went to work for the hospital that cared for my father and my grandmother. And then I made that major pivot in my life that you just talked about a minute ago. I became a police officer. And one of the things I did during my law enforcement career was I was a SWAT hostage negotiator. After that, I started a school security consulting business, coached girls high school basketball. But for the last 12 years now, I've been battling a rare form of cancer, a rare form of melanoma. And then just finally, my wife and I have been married for 31 years. We have one child, a daughter, is a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy, is an officer in the new branch of the military, the Space Force.
Wow, such an interesting life you've already lived so far. I feel like you've lived multiple lives, and there's so many ways we can go in this. But with your extensive background, I mean, various fields from sports, law enforcement, hostage negotiating, battling cancer, how do you integrate those lessons you've learned from each of those and put it in an approach of mindset and self-improvement?
Yeah, I think mindset, controlling your mind, being able to callous your mind is really one of the most important things that we can do in our lives, because we all become what we think. So if you're thinking negative, 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 you're going to become negative, negative, negative. Versus if you're going to think positive, that I can do this, you know, that there's going to be challenges along the way, but I can still get to where I want to be, then you're probably going to do that. I mean, there's no guarantees in life, and nothing's perfect. There's no perfect marriage, no perfect person, no perfect job or anything like that. But I really think the whole mind aspect of this, you know, when I was diagnosed with, I have a rare form of melanoma that appeared on the bottom of my foot. And they told me that more than likely, I would be dead in 2 years. And that if I got a miracle, I might make it to 5 years. And I thought, well, you just gave me a death sentence. Maybe I can turn that death sentence into a life sentence. And that's really what I've been trying to do over these last I've had a few amputations and things like that that have come along with it. But really, the ability to say, you know what, this is hard, this is difficult, I really don't want to do it, but I still need to move forward. I use the example of a marathon runner. You know, marathon runners talk about there's a point where they sort of hit that wall where just don't think I can go on. I just don't think I can make it. But they find that if they could just put one foot in front of the other, if they could just push through difficulty, then all of a sudden they get a second one. It's like, okay, now I can make it to the end. And I think life is like that in a lot of ways. You know, we get so caught up. We get to a point where, you know, we start down the road toward a goal and an impediment gets in our way. We can't get over, around it, or through it. And so we quit. We give up. But we just don't quit. Now we got to blame somebody. You know, we've got to blame our parents or our station in life or our boss. Very few people take personal responsibility for their own success and happiness. And I think the biggest part of controlling, or the biggest part of getting to your own success and happiness, is controlling your mind.
That's so good. What is something maybe someone's listening, watching now, and they feel like they're hitting that wall, that they feel like they're on the edge of giving up and quitting? What would be that one thing that you would tell them that would encourage them to keep going?
I'd tell them this story, and this is a true story. It happened back in the 1950s at Johns Hopkins University. And there was a professor there by the name of Richter who did an experiment with rats. It was a very simple experiment. He took rats and put them in a tank of water that was over their head. And he wanted to see how long the average rat could tread water. And initially, the average rat treaded water for about 15 minutes. And just as those rats were getting ready to sink and drown, he reached in, grabbed them, pulled them out, dried them off, and let them rest for a while. And then he took the exact same rats and put them back in the exact same tank of water. And the second time around, on average, those rats treaded water for 60 hours.
Wow.
Think about that. The first time, 15 minutes. It's not like your business is going to go under, or you're going to flunk a test or something like that. Your life is going to be over. And the second time around, 60 hours. And what that said to me is two things. Number one, the importance of hope in our lives, that we, you know, if we know we're doing the right things, maybe not today, maybe not this month, maybe not even this year, but more than likely, if we're doing the right things, we're going to get to where we want to be in life. And the second thing it taught me was just how much more our physical bodies can handle than we ever thought they could. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we all have a breaking point, but I think that breaking point is so much further down the road because we start listening to our minds. This hurts. This is uncomfortable. We should quit. No, going back to our discussion about the marathon runner, can I push through this? Can I make this? Can I make it one more day or take one more step? And if you can, it's amazing how much more you can handle in life.
That's so good. And I agree. I haven't had the challenges to the degree that you have faced, but I will say just hearing your story is so inspiring. And I know that the people at home are going to think that as well. Now, I know that we briefly talked about it, but you're a Christian as well. I'm curious, where does your faith come into play in all of this in your journey?
Yeah, it's number one. And I talked about when I call my three F's, which are faith, family, and friends. And they have gotten me through life. They have gotten me certainly through this cancer journey. I remember when I was first diagnosed, I told you, you know, they gave me 2 years to live. There was really no treatment they could offer me other than surgery. And so my doctor put me on a drug called interferon, and I took a weekly interferon injection. And the side effects of the interferon were that I had terrible flu-like symptoms for 2 to 3 days every week after each injection. And I took those weekly injections for almost 5 years. So imagine having a bad case of the flu every week for 5 years. And I knew that wasn't going to cure me. That was just, my doctor used to call it, kicking the can down the road. We're just trying to buy you more time. And Brett, during that time, I literally prayed to die. I was so sick being sick. I never contemplated suicide or anything like that, but I was just like, look, God, I'm not living. I'm just not dying. And I think there's two different cares. Somebody who's living is growing, is developing, is moving forward. somebody who's dying is not, they're not growing. They're not moving forward. And I was like, look, God, just take me out of this. And he did. But what he did is he gave me the strength, the courage, the determination to literally, I was living day to day. If you would ask me what my goals were, like my goal is to try to wake up tomorrow morning. I had no other goals in my life. And then fast forward 2020, my leg gave between, and I found out I had these tumors in my lungs, which I still have, and I'm still being treated for. And about 6 months later, my doctor showed my CAT scan. And I have no medical background. I don't know how to read a CAT scan. But you can kind of look at it and be like, oh, that sure doesn't look like it belongs there. You know, I have these big tumors in my lungs, fluid all around the pleural spaces in my lungs. I was coughing up green, bloody phlegm. And I remember looking at my doctor and saying, how was I alive? And Brett, I'll never forget this. My doctor put his head down. He shook his head no. And then he looked up at me and he said, I don't know, because you shouldn't have been. Which said to me that God's not done with me yet. You know, when I die, where I die, how I die, way above my pay grade. Spend a lot more time worrying about the living.
That's so good. And I think it's so important for us listening, watching at home to really put that in perspective, because there's so much that we take for granted. Something as simple as the breath in our lungs. And we get so caught up in such the smallest minutia of things. Like, oh man, I'm running late, or you know, the silliest of things. But really, and I want to encourage those at home, reiterate what you said. If you are still on this earth, if you're not dead yet, then God's not done. And I love that you mentioned that, because that's such a very valuable piece, that even if you're going through what feels like living hell, that if you can take that one more step, that you're going to be met with maybe another step and then another step. And you'll be so surprised how much further you can go. And I really think it's interesting. It's in your journey, you emphasize embracing that pain and the difficulty as a catalyst for your growth. Your concept of leaving a legacy in the hearts of others, it's really not about us. It's about who we can bring with us. You know, it's about who we can inspire on the way. I love that. How do you actively cultivate and nurture this aspect of your life? And what advice do you have for someone seeking to leave that lasting eternal impact?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you another story. I mean, you're asking great questions.
I'm here for the stories.
So I think most of it, we either grew up with, or we've heard or seen about Fred Rogers, you know, Mr. Rogers on his television show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, educated so many young people, including me, on public television when I was growing up. In 2003, when Fred Rogers died, his family was going through his effects, and they found his wallet. And inside his wallet was a scrap piece of paper on which Mr. Rogers had written four simple words: life is for service. You know, Red, I think so many people, and I've seen this in my life, and my guess is you probably have too, so many people think that they're born empty, and that when they get out of school, get into life, whatever that looks like for them, that then their job is to fill up their empty cell. You know, they got to get a great education, got to, you know, get a great job, make a lot of money, drive the nicest car, live in the nicest house, have the greatest kids. And somehow they think that by having all this stuff, it's going to make them happy, it's going to make them fulfilled. And what I found is it's just the opposite. We're not born empty. We're born full. You're there with everything we need to be successful. However you define that word success, already inside of us. We just need to find it, pull it out, and use it to our benefit. So our job in life should not be to fill ourselves up. Our job in life should be to empty ourselves out with our unique gifts and talents that were given to us by God, certainly for the betterment of ourselves, but also for the betterment of our family, of our friends, of our community, and of our country. And if you look at life that way, it's not what I get, it's what I give. All of a sudden, life takes on an entirely different meaning. Now you're cultivating a legacy based on the people you touch, on giving of yourself and your unique gifts to those people.
So good. I love that idea of life is service, and we're born full. Man, I'm curious again. Like, I really want to ask the questions, for I feel like my viewers or listeners may be wondering. And one thing I feel like a lot of people run into is they hear something amazing like, you're born full, like you're not empty, you've got all your potential, your purpose inside of you. But I feel like a lot of people struggle with the how. So I'm curious your perspective. How do you uncover and pull out that potential and really live that life of purpose?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. First of all, if you sort of put things in perspective, realize how special, how unique you really are. And the way I do that is to think that in the history of mankind, there has never been another human being like me. And there never will be another human being like me. I am that unique. You are that unique. Everybody who's listening to us is that unique. Now, it may be just a small nuance, but you're still a unique person, and there never will be another person like you. And the other thing I always try to tell people is figure out what your unique gifts and talents are. We all have, you know, if you told me to go be an accountant, that wouldn't be a good match. I'm not in that part. But if you told me to go write or speak, that probably would be more in line with where my gifts and talents lie. So figure out your gifts and talents. And again, going back to what I said earlier, there's no perfect job. There's no perfect anything. I mean, I love being a police officer. I hated standing on a traffic post for 12 hours in a uniform. You know, that was not a fun time, but I still love being a police officer. So try things. Get out there and just jump in and try things. So Sarah Blakely is the founder, and I know this is kind of a dads and a man's podcast, but I'm going to use this woman because she's married to a man by the name of Jesse Itzler. So Sarah Blakely and Jesse Itzler are husband and wife. And Itzler used to be part owner of the Atlanta Hawks in the National Basketball Association. Sarah Blakely started the company called Fax, which is a woman's undergarment company. And I heard her husband talking one time, and he said she started that company with one prototype and $5,000. That's all she had. And she's grown it into a multi-million dollar company. But he said if she would have waited until every single thing was lined up, until everything was perfect before she started that company, he said, I guarantee you somebody else would have taken that idea and run with it. So understand that it's okay. You know, I got this idea and I think these are my talents and gifts. I'm going to try this. You know, so many people step back and they're like, oh, I'm not going to try it until everything's perfect. Nothing will ever be perfect. It will never, there'll always be one more thing that you'll be looking to do. Just jump in. Jump in and see what happens and make mistakes. Not for the sake of making mistakes, but for the sake of learning. For the sake of, I made that mistake. What did I learn from it? And how can I apply it to another aspect of my life? I know that's a long-winded answer to your question, but I hope that gets to what you were looking for.
Oh, dude, I love it, Terry. And just to piggyback off that, I love that idea of finding and realizing your unique voice. Because it's like you said, like, I can't reach who Terry reaches, and you can't reach who Red reaches. And when we have that realization, it really is, I feel like, a light bulb moment for us. But also, I love what you mentioned there with taking what's in your hand and getting started. Because I feel like, especially my generation and even the younger generation, we have this illusion of choice. We have this illusion of options where we can get so bogged down with the possibilities that we don't get started. And I want to encourage you guys listening and watching at home is what makes you come alive? Like Terry mentioned a little bit, if you really could think of like the top three things that make you come alive, that make you wake up in the morning, take that first one and dive into it. Head first for 6 months and see what happens. And I love that you have such a full spectrum of different fields. Like you were in SWAT, you played D1 basketball. Like I love the fact that you weren't afraid to go out there and try things. And you found out what worked, you found out what didn't work. And I think that's such a valuable insight that a lot of people are missing, especially younger generations are missing. We get so used to the shiny objects. We start chasing the next thing. But it's that idea, like if you chase two rabbits, you get neither. But what if you got laser focused with the one thing and you'd be so surprised with what you would get from that? Such good stuff. So you mentioned writing is one of your things, and you have a book called Sustainable Excellence, and you outline the 10 principles for leading an uncommon and extraordinary life. Which principle resonates with you the most personally and why? And how can our listeners, our watchers apply it to their life?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the principle that resonates with me, and I'm going to tell it to you because I'm not proud I've done it in my life, but I have done it many times. And each principle is a chapter in the book. And the one that resonates with me is this. Most people think with their fears and their insecurities instead of using their minds. And I know I've done that. You know I wanted to start something. It was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe I don't have enough information. Or what will people think about me if I fail? That's thinking with our fears and our insecurities. That's not thinking with, hey, this is interesting to me. Let me jump in and see what happens. There's a name's Jason Pfeiffer. He wrote a book, and I can't remember the name of it, but he's the president, or he's the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. And he talks about his life. He said, you know, when I graduated from college, I was a small-town newspaper. You're young, so your audience may know what a newspaper is. But, you know, I was a small-town newspaper guy, but I wasn't really happy. I wasn't really fulfilled. I wanted to be an editor. He said, so I went to work for a company. I learned this particular type of editing. And he said, as soon as I learned that, I switched companies and went to work for another company. And I learned a second type of editing. And as soon as I learned that, I switched companies again and went to a third type of, and I really like that because he wasn't afraid, you know, wasn't like, well, I'm comfortable here. Things are nice. I'm making good money. I should just stay. No, I want to learn more because I want to take that. And that ultimately led him to where he is today as the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur, a fairly successful magazine. And that's what you need to do. That's what, find your gifts and talents and not, don't worry about what your mind said. Don't, because our minds like the negativity. It's self-preservation. It would be like, Red, if you got up this morning and said, I'm going to go skydiving. Yeah. Your mind would immediately start, wait a minute, Red. I don't know if we want to do that. You know, the parachute may not open, the plane may crash. Your mind will put all kinds of negative obstacles in your way. That's where you need to fight through those. You know what? I want to go skydiving today. I'm going to go do that. Same thing applies to your life, to your job, to your family, and things like that. You know what you need to do. You know what you want to do. Go do it.
So good. It's that idea of like comfort and complacency robs you of your destiny. It's that idea of, I think of it. So back in when we were cavemen, we needed fear to keep us alive from saber-toothed tigers. But now because we don't have saber-toothed tigers, some people turn public speaking or the smallest of things into a saber-toothed tiger. I heard it said this way too, is I feel like a lot of times fear is a mask for desire, because a lot of times it's that little bit scary that it's like, oh, it's intriguing. But yet if we allow our fear to speak to get the best of us, then we'll never get started. But what if we just had that little ounce of courage? And I feel like a lot of men that I talk to, they really want to get confidence, and they're all thinking, oh, if I was just more confident. And I try to push back on that a little bit. And I say, you don't need to be more confident. You just need to be a little bit more courageous. And I think a lot of people maybe lose sight of that. They may get stuck in this analysis paralysis. They may get stuck in this space of fear. But I really want to encourage the listeners and the watchers today is you heard it from Terry, and you've seen it within his life. It's not nearly as bad as our minds make it out to be. Like, the worst that could happen is you try something and you fall on your face. And guess what? You get to get back up, brush yourself off. You probably learned a lesson for the next time. You'll see the banana peel and you'll step around it and you won't actually fall on your face the next time. Oh, but that's such a good train of thought. And I think if those listening, if you are hearing this and you're like, wow, I'm loving what Terry's talking about, definitely go check out that book. And I'll be sure to get the links from him so we can link it in the description. But it's called Sustainable Excellence. Now, as I was reading through your little bio you sent me, you've been on over 600 podcasts. I think that's, wow, that's amazing. That's definitely, I'm encouraged by that because I myself look to put in those kinds of numbers when it comes to sharing what I feel like God's put on my heart to share. So with all that said, I'm sure you've had some memorable conversations and insights, but out of all those things, what is something that you haven't shared before that you feel like you should share today?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for putting me on the spot there, Red.
No, you know,
I, What haven't I shared? I don't know if there's something that I haven't shared. I mean, this has been hard for me because I'm a very private person. I don't want to put my business out there. And to open yourself up, I mean, to be a good podcast guest, to be a good podcast host, as you know, because, I mean, you talk about my 600 podcasts. You told me before we started, you're at 187. So it's nothing to sneeze at either. You're doing amazing things with that as well. You know, you have to be authentic. You have to show people warts and all because people are smart. They're going to see, oh, that's fake. He's not real. I think I'm able to do these and have credibility because I can walk the walk in addition to talk the talk. I mean, I can back up what I say with either my examples or other people that I know. So there's not a lot. I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, and I'm not being evasive. I just, you know, I mean, like I always tell people, if you want to ask me a question, ask me a question. And I've had people on podcasts where, you know, they turn off the record and they're like, you know, I wish I would have asked you what it feels like to know you're dying. I'm like, why didn't you ask me that? Because there may be somebody out there listening to you feels that same way and would like a different perspective on it. So that's why I always say, whatever you want to ask me, and I'll do my best to be honest and give you an answer.
And I love that. And I love that piece on being authentic and showing up your most authentic self. And man, I'm in my garage currently. So if you heard that big boom, yeah, I think my trash can lid just slammed against my door. It scared the crap out of me. Goodness. But there's a bit about authenticity yourself. I could have totally let that flow, but I just wanted to be real in that moment. But yeah, I feel like it's so important. And I always like to say it, vulnerability is a super strength. And I feel like in a sea of, especially where the state of social media took a lot of society, especially Instagram and specifically, it got very Photoshopped, very polished, where we're going to put all the bad things behind the curtain. But then we had other platforms come out and we saw a little bit more realness to people. And I feel like that's also a thought with this whole looming AI craziness that you hear people talk about. There's nothing that's going to be a substitute for human connection. And human connection is not only success to success, but it's struggle to struggle. And if there's anything I've learned, even in my opportunities to lead various groups within my church of men, I love it all. I'll share a bit of a tangent of a story of myself. Is I lead a men's group, and something that we've done, and we have different semesters of groups, but something we like to ask regularly is similar to the question I just asked you, but it's that question of, what do you want us to not know? And it's amazing how obviously you need to be at a level of knowing someone before you can just ask a stranger that. So I definitely don't say go up to someone random on the street and do that. But if you have those people in your life, really getting to the heart of the matter and taking off the mask is such an important aspect that I feel like, especially when we're talking to men here, it's so easy for us to feel like we have to put on a brave face. But the thing is that I feel like it's both and. Like we're tough and tender. And it's great for us to be strong for, and we need to understand that it's okay to be real. It's okay to be honest with the fact that sometimes life is hard. Like I love that the person mentioned that question of what did it feel like when you knew you were dying, and bringing the humanity to all of this. And with the things that you haven't shared, I'm curious, what do you feel like is that most important message? If you could only say one message to someone, one insight, what would that be?
I'll tell you how I start. It's not pretty. It's ugly, you know, and, you know, kind of piggybacking on what you just said, we all have scars. I mean, if you saw my body, I have a ton of scars all over my body, but I've earned those scars. You know, I'm proud of those scars. Yeah. So the first time I ever did a podcast, I started a speaking business just as COVID hit. And so like everybody else, you know, there was nobody doing anything virtually or in person. So I had to figure out the different tracks to take. And somebody reached out to me and said, would you like to be a guest on my podcast? I said, sure. What's a podcast? I had no idea what a podcast was. And he explained it to me. And I'm like, sounds a little uncomfortable, but sure, I'll do it. And Rhett, I had post-it notes all around the camera. And he would ask me a question and I would lean in and I would read the post-it notes. I was terrible. I was horrible. I provided no value at all to his listeners. But then I kind of stepped back and I was like, I kind of like this. And I thought that, well, the first time I drove a car, was I good at it? No. First time I cooked a meal? No, I think I burned the water. You know, the first time I studied algebra, was I? No, we're not good the first time usually that we start something. But again, it goes back to something you said earlier about, this scares me. If something scares you, you are on the right path. You are absolutely on the right path and you should keep moving forward. It's the things that you do that are like, that doesn't scare me. It doesn't inspire me. It doesn't do anything for me. That's probably not the path you want to take. So, okay, I'm scared. Now, what do I do? And I remember I was talking to my publisher and I said, Scott, I listen to every podcast I've ever been on because I want to see how many filler words I put in there. I want to see if I can have better stories, make them more condensed or find different stories. I want to be a good guest so the podcast host feels it was time well spent. He said, no, Terry, it's not about being good. It's just about not sucking. I said, well, thanks for the title of my next book. You know, just don't suck. No, not really. But, you know, it's like, no, it's not about sucking. It's wanting to be good. And the only way to do that is to put in the grind, you know, to put in the work, to do something you enjoy, you love, because it's, and this is an incredibly important part. So if you don't remember anything we talked about today, remember this. It is absolutely 100% not the destination. It's not where you want to get. It's everything between where you are right now and that destination. It's all the hard work. It's all the failure. It's the little successes. It's everybody who said you'll never make it. That's where life is won and lost. It's not the ups and the downs. It's in the middle. It's in the everyday life that we live. That's where life is won and lost.
That's so good. And to think of it, even to take that a step further, is I feel like a lot of, especially younger men, and I mean, I'm 30, I'm about to be 31 in a few weeks. But even then, I can remember my late teens, early 20s, desperately wanting to make it. You know, I was trying to be the Christian rapper. I wanted to get the Grammy. I wanted to make it. And it took me laying down what I thought was my identity in doing and finding out who I was becoming. And I feel like that's such an interesting piece in my own thought process, is success is so much in the becoming and the unbecoming than it is, like you said, the destination. And you never really ever arrive. Because no matter, and if it's if entrepreneurs are listening and you have money goals that you're trying to hit, revenue goals you're trying to hit, you hit them. And what happens? In 15 seconds, you're like, okay, what's next? And that's great. And it's all good to go and conquer and, you know, take dominion of this world. And also at the same fact, don't let your character, your integrity be jeopardized in the process. Because I wouldn't want to get to the end of this life and get this huge fame only to have a failed marriage and kids that don't love me. And I think that that's a valuable piece that a lot of people miss. And I think you hit it right on the head with that. And that's such a great insight. And I know my people listening and watching are going to glean so much from our conversation. And I'm curious, you mentioned, circle back to this whole what scares you. And you mentioned what scared you then. I'm curious, what scares you today?
What scares me today is not living up to what God wants me to do. I start every morning with, okay, what do you want me to do today? And sometimes I want to go over here. He's like, I want you to go over here today. I'm like, where did this come from? I never expected to do this. I guess the thing that, you know, I've been asked this question, how do you want to be remembered? Uh-huh. My response is, I really don't want to be remembered. I'm not going to be remembered. I mean, without being melodramatic, you know, 10 minutes after they close the lid on my casket, nobody's going to remember I was here. There will be a few people. But what I really find interesting, and I'm going to tell you another story. So one of the nurses who cares for me in the infusion center is a former hospice nurse. For those who don't know about hospice, it's end of life care. And she recommended this book to me. It was called Imagine Heaven. And it's about people who had near-death experiences. And I took so many things away from that book. One of the most important things I took away from it was this. No matter who that person saw when they had their near-death experience, whether it was Jesus, whether it was a saint, whether it was an angel, whether it was a family member, a friend, the one question that seemed to always be asked is, how did you treat me? In other words, you know, the number one commandment, love your God, you know, above all other gods. The second commandment, just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. How do we treat each other? How do we care about each other? How do we love each other? And if I want to be remembered for anything, it's the connections that I have with other people. It's the relationships I have with them in my life. I've never met a stranger. I love talking to people. It drives my daughter crazy. She's like, "Dad, why did you talk to him?" Because I thought he was interesting, you know, and stuff like that. But it's that. Connect with other people. You know, again, give of yourself. If you give of yourself, it's amazing what will happen in your life.
That's so good. So good. There's so many different places we could keep going, and I could talk to you forever. But I feel like we're getting towards the end of our conversation today. And with that said, I like to ask this question, and I'm curious: is there anything that I missed? Is there anything that you would want to share that maybe you didn't get to share yet?
Yeah. I love telling stories. You know, once heard, you know, never make a point without telling a story, and never tell a story without making a point. So
that's good.
I had a nurse. Again, all I got is sports and nurse stories. So I had a nurse who was taking care of me one time, and she asked me, I had my foot amputated in 2018, my leg amputated in 2020. And she asked about this, you know, what was that like? And I said, it certainly hasn't been easy. I'm 6 foot 8 inches tall. So learning to walk again, especially when you're in your 60s, is not an easy thing to do. But what I told her was, you know, cancer can take all my physical faculties, but it can't touch my mind, it can't touch my heart, and it can't touch my soul. And that's who I am. That's who you are, Red. That's who everybody who's listening to us is. And we spend so much time working on this body. You know, we go to the gym, we eat right, we get enough rest, we reduce stress. And I'm certainly not telling you not to do that. I absolutely think you should. But what I am suggesting is maybe every day, focus a little bit more on who you really are, your heart, your mind, and your soul. We know this body is going to die someday, it's going to decay, and it's going to go away. But our hearts, our minds, and our souls, I believe those things are eternal. I believe they live on. And I just don't think we spend enough time working on them while we're here.
Keep the main thing. That's what I always say. Man, that's so good. So I only have one more question for you. And it's actually a question for a question. And it's, do you have any questions for me?
If you couldn't do what you're doing now, what would God be calling you to do?
Cool. That's so good. So I think about what I'm doing now. So I'm serving, I serve my church. I play drums at my church and I love it. It's a very important aspect to me. It's being a stay-at-home dad that's also podcasting and coaching people. So if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, what would I be doing instead? That's so good. When I think about the doing, I think of it more in the aspect of the why behind it, because it's so easy to get caught up in the doing. And I did that a lot, especially like I mentioned earlier in my life, when I was trying to be the Christian rapper, it was like, man, I've got to make it with these musics. You know, I got to get famous there. Or when it was, even when I played sports, I played baseball most of my high school early, and then high school, didn't play in college, would have. And it's that idea of like, that's even an aspect of my life I think of. But even more, if I get to the heart of the matter, it goes back to what you were mentioning, serving people, helping people, encouraging people. And I feel like it doesn't matter what I end up doing. And as long as I'm doing that, it goes back to taking someone with me, whether that's me coaching, mindset coaching, whether it's podcasting. If I was asked to coach my son's future little league team, he's only 3, but who knows, maybe he'll play sports. If that's where God called me, I feel like I'd be like Ted Lasso. I'd be over there just giving them life lessons. Or even if, you know, I have a daughter as well, if she got into ballet or something, if I started teaching dance because I had a background in dance, it's where I'm content wherever God takes me, as long as I'm still doing what I feel like I'm called to do, which is helping encourage people, motivate people to really go live their dreams. Because I always say it like this, is like, if there was one thing that I could do for someone, is to help them see themselves the way that God sees them. Because it's so easy for us to see ourselves the way that the world's seen us. And for some of us, maybe parents or friends that weren't so good of friends that spoke these lies over us, that we start living this lie identity. I love that guy. One of the guys I listened to called it lie identity. And I thought that was a beautiful way to put it. And if I could just help people see themselves the way God sees them, whatever capacity that looks like, then I feel like I've done my part and I've done what I've been called and created to do. But I love that question. Thanks for asking it.
You're welcome. It's a great answer.
Man, this has been so fun, Terry. I'm so glad that we got connected and then we're having this conversation. And I feel like you've brought such great insight, such great stories. And I look forward to staying connected with you for sure on past our podcast experience. But yeah, with that said, I feel full. How can people like get in contact with you and connect with you?
So I have a blog/website called Motivational Check. Every day I put up a thought for that day. And with that thought usually comes a question on how maybe you could apply the thought into your life. The recommendations for books to read, videos to watch. You can leave me a message. You can get access to my social media links. That's all at motivationalcheck.com.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button for more tips tailored to entrepreneur dads just like you. Or you can click this video to keep learning more. And until next time, you're doing better than you think. I'm praying for you, friend. Now let's go live better than best and conquer this week.